navigate our new normal. How many of you needed that reminder that God has been faithful? Let me ask that one more time. Maybe you didn't hear the question as I was trying to say it. Maybe I'm just too filled with just the reflection of how good God has been in spite of all. That when I hear the song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," how many of you are grateful for that reminder that God is a faithful God? And He has been faithful to each and every one of us. Well, I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me. When I look through all that has happened in my life, all the chaos that is happening around the world, when I look back, I can find points and places in my life, particularly where I can say that was just the grace of God. And I don't think I'm by myself in here, because I believe even the members and guests alike, if you just pause for a moment and just think back, some of them don't have to think that far. Just think back to yesterday, where God watched over you. Think back to last week, where God was with you. Think back to a time or a year where you didn't think you were going to make it out, but now when you look back, can you say that God has been faithful? He has been faithful, and great is His faithfulness. You all, as we turn our attention to the passage of Scripture that Susan and Lee read before us from Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, I want us to settle there as we consider God's faithfulness. Brother Ed, that God is a good God. And that's not cliche. That's just the truth. That God has been good to us. And sometimes we need ample reminders of God's goodness. Because if we're honest, a lot of things that are not good may happen around us and to us that at times distract us from truly seeing just how good God has been to us. Maybe the mic's not working this morning. I don't know. But from the passage, I want us to look deeply as the people of God were gathered, as the Bible declares in that first verse, as one man, as one body, the people of God gathered together. And if you know anything about their journey in Nehemiah, you would then understand that the people of God has gone through the ebbs and flows of life. They had felt disappointment. They were struggling at a point where Nehemiah chapter 1 declares that the walls of the city of Jerusalem were torn down and the people were in shame. They had dealt with the misery of the community as being a people, as a Jerusalem community in need of help. They dealt with the threat of enemy forces coming into their city that would tear it to shambles. They dealt with the broken walls, the insecurity that it brought upon them as a people, to have their walls and their gates destroyed. But God was at work. With all that they were experiencing, God was at work. And by the hand of God and the favor of God, God with Nehemiah and other people of God came together as one body to rebuild what was broken. Wayne, that's just a review from last Sunday's message. As God has called us as a people of God to look where He has assigned us and identify broken places. And Heather, He wants to use us to be the very people who repair what's been broken. And so now here we are in the 8th chapter. And the people of God, after going through the ups and downs of life, come together again. They come together at a particular point because things are not restored as they used to be. But they still gather together. They gather together with all the emotions that they had mustered going through all they've been through. But they still gathered. I think I'm preaching to the choir right now because the reality is all that we're going through, we still gather. Everything that's happening, we still gather. We gather here in a sanctuary. Some of you are gathering in your personal sanctuary at home, but we gather as the people of God, that nothing ought to stop you from worshiping God. Let me go ahead and pause for a moment. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're faced with, nothing should stop you from worshiping God. But let's be honest, sometimes we need a reminder of his faithfulness. Can I be transparent with you just for a moment? I got the mic, so I'm going to do it anyway. I was there. William, I was there as we were looking at all that was happening in the world and the restrictions that were given to us. I was there. I was at a very low place. I was looking and saying, God, I know you're good, but I'm not seeing a lot of good around me. God checked me, though. He said, then what are you looking at? You don't catch that in a minute. But that wasn't enough for me. I was at a low place. I was seeing a lot of bad things happening, a lot of hatred being shown on displayed in the world. And I said, God, what's going on? And he reminded me, well, nothing that hasn't already been going on. He's showing us. And so there I was. I'm just being transparent because just because you see me on the platform, don't mean that I don't have human emotions and feelings. Now, when I look around like that, I'm looking for friends just to make sure I got somebody who got my back. I was at a low place. And as I was wrestling with God, God grabbed my attention by a real life experience. You see, I had taken my wife's vehicle that requires a key fob in order for, like many of your vehicles, requires a key fob in order for it to start. I had taken her vehicle to take care of some things, you know, trying to do the checklist, you know, and do what she called me to do. And so I was taking the vehicle, and then something happened. Here I am. I'm dealing with what's happening around me. I'm dealing with the struggles of life, and I'm talking to God, but I'm not feeling like we're all that close right now. And I took her key fob, and I was driving her vehicle, and something happened. When I got to a certain point in my destination, got out the vehicle, and I think I was at HEB, and I was doing what I really don't like doing, you know, shopping. And thank you, brother. I got somebody with me here. I thank God I got somebody who understands my pain. Shopping. I get back out with everything on the list I think that she wants me to get. And I dare not call because I don't like to be added to the list. I don't like that. But anyway, I'm sorry, baby. It's just the truth. And I make my way back to the vehicle. But the vehicle wasn't responding to the key fob. I was there. I knew the code to get inside to open it. So I opened the vehicle, put the groceries up, and sat down and pressed the button, but it wasn't working. I mean, I know I'm a pastor and a preacher and all that, but there's some things that came to my mind when that wasn't pressing that button and it wasn't working. Unbeknownst to me, the battery within the key fob had gone out. No one prepared me, Kevin, for when the battery would drain out. I didn't have an extra key fob. I was just there. And what I grown accustomed to working wasn't working. After I tried everything I knew. I popped the hood, disconnected the battery terminals, reconnected the battery terminals, thinking I'm going to fool the car. I'm going to get this. Nah, that didn't work. Folks are looking at me like maybe I was still in my own car. I don't know. It wasn't working. But then Bill, after I was angry, can I say that? That's the truth. I was angry. I was frustrated. I was hot. I got through grocery shopping, and all the cold stuff is getting warm, and I'm sitting in this hot vehicle. And the Holy Spirit tapped me on my shoulder with all my frustration. And he said, "Have you checked the manual?" You're not with me just yet here. I open up the glove compartment now. Look, grab the manual, and unbeknownst to me, right there in the manual, it told me what I needed to do whenever the battery drained out and I couldn't start the vehicle. Come here, I'm just trying to help you understand something. In the book of Nehemiah, that 8th chapter, the people gather together, their battery is drained out. They've done all that they could do. They've rebuilt the wall. They faced the enemies. Their battery now is in a place where it's drained out. I don't know, anybody here, you ever been there before where your battery was about to drain out? Let me give you some good news from the text. They knew to check the manual because they didn't wait for the preacher to come and bring the word. The Bible says they told the preacher, Ezra, come and bring the word, because whenever you're in a low place, whenever you're in a place where things are just not right and you're not sensing the presence of God anymore, let me give you some holy help for some hurting times. That is, check the manual. And so they open up the word of God, and they realize that if God is to work in and through us, then we must respond obediently to the word of God. I hope you're in this place, because the word can guide us into experiencing real joy. Come on back with me in the vehicle, because when I checked the manual, manual told me what I needed to do. I did exactly what the manual said to do. It caused me to have to look for some things, Kevin. I had to find some things that I didn't even know was there. Now, we've been having this vehicle for 6 years, and I've been driving it. I've been using it. I thought I knew everything about it. But Will, that the manual told me some things that I didn't know. I always had the manual, but I didn't use the manual. But it's when I dug and I used the manual. Guess what, y'all? The car started. The air conditioner came on, and I was filled with joy. I'm just trying to help you understand something here. Here they are. They're in a tough place, but they check the manual. And Pinky, check out what they do in the text. In that 8th chapter, now I'm in the 6th verse, it says, and Ezra, he's the preacher, Ezra, he's the scribe. He opened the book. He had the scroll. It really wasn't a book, but he had a scroll, and he opens the scroll. I hope you didn't close your Bibles. He opens the book in the sight of the people, for he was above on a platform, the people. And he opened it, and as he opened it, all the people stood. He was on a platform. They came and gathered as one because they needed to check the manual. And as he opened the book, all the people stood. Try one more time. There's something to be said about our reverence for the word of God. And when everything is getting in your way of seeing God for who he is, sometimes you just need to stand still, stand and hear what God has to say. I'm not done yet, y'all. I'm still in the Bible, because he says something here. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Here it is. He blessed the Lord, gave praise to the Lord, the great God. He said, God, you're good. You're still reading, huh? All right, let's see. Said, God, you've been faithful. You're almost going to get it before we leave out of here. Said, God, there's none like you. Hey, now you're getting it. Now I feel like I'm in a Baptist church. Said, God, you've been good to me. You watched over me, and you have protected me. Look at the text. He blessed God, and they lifted up their hands, and they said, I co-sign that. I sign off on that. I hear you, preacher. I'm with you. That's my testimony, that whenever I'm in trouble, I can check the book, and in the book, it leads me to know how God can guide me whatever I'm going through. Man, Ezra, I'm feeling this. I mean, I understand now. We should keep doing this, okay? But if you can, go ahead. You can keep your seat. Because here's the reality. God wants to use us. God wants to use us. And no matter where you are in life, you're on assignment by God. And just as God used the people of Israel in the text to rebuild a city, to rebuild the temple, God wants to use you and I to rebuild the community. Not just sit on the sidelines and say, oh, that's a shame. Look at how that's being messed up. Look at how that's being broken down. No. God has called his church to guide the community, but we can't guide the community unless God is guiding us. They had a reverence for God's word. They desired God's guidance. And hear me, brothers and sisters, for us to really have joy, we got to get closer to God. We have to grow in our relationship with God. We must desire God. Like a deer panting for the water, we must want to be with God. And one of the ways we get into the presence of God is when we get our attention on the word of God that reveals to us the love of God for all his people. I hope you got that. That we don't worship the book. We go into the book to see the God that we do worship. And then when we see the God that we worship, we learn from the book how to worship him in spirit and in truth. Mom, I'm still in the text because the Bible says that they were there, not just the people. I love it how he breaks it down. But he had the women and the children were all there. It was a multi-generational affair. That the parents didn't let the children stay at home. Parents didn't let the children stay up all night and not show up in the sanctuary. The parents didn't give them an option of whether or not they could or couldn't make it into, you know, maybe I'm not talking to the right folk here. Children, if you're a child, let me go and define that for a moment here. If your parents take care of you, let me see you. Just stand up. If your parents take care in any way, pay your cell phone bill. I'm looking right here. Your parents pay for your clothes, pay for your food. I'm just checking out. Oh, I'm sorry. I got some more teenagers. That's so good to see all y'all. I knew they were going to stand. And it's a beautiful sight because what they get to see from the older generation is how to worship God so that when their life gets them in a hard place. They then can remember I was in the sanctuary and my parents were with me. And when the preacher said that God was good, they celebrated. Well, maybe whatever I'm going through right now, if I just lift up my hands and say, God is good, I can make it through what I'm going through. I'm happy to see y'all in here. Go ahead and have a seat. My kids looking at me like, you act like we had a choice. That's how they're looking at me. If we're going to be what God's called us to be, yo, we have to desire God's guidance. And that comes from being part of the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, get a Bible. Download a Bible. But don't just have the Bible. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Meditate on the Word of God and let it be a part of your life. And then it becomes better than a habit. It becomes a behavior that guides your life, that God could then use your life because you're living in obedience to the Word. Now, let me push on further for a moment, because not only when they called for the Word of God to be read, did they desire God's guidance, but we also see that they directed their attention to the greatness of God. Because when the word of God was read, they began to look at God. When the word of God was read, they realized, Nehemiah then realizes, and he calls the priests and the Levites, and he said, wait a minute, this day is a holy day. Because you cannot look in the word of God and not see the greatness of God. Let me go ahead and jump on chapter 9 right now. Because in chapter 9, they call upon the Lord. Chapter 9, verse 1 says that it was the 24th day. I hope you caught that. Because chapter 8 said when they gathered, it was the 7th day. Chapter 9 says it's the 24th day of the same month, and the same people in the same assembly were fasting and praying to God. Wait a minute. They didn't stop worshiping. They didn't just worship on Sunday. They didn't just worship on Saturday. No, the Bible says that they continued on in worship. It's not in the notes, but it's in the word, because worship is a lifestyle. We don't stop worshiping when we leave this place. No, we continue to worship God. And as they're worshiping God, look at what the text says. The Israelites separated themselves from all the foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers, and they stood up in place and read the book of the law of their God a quarter of the day. How much longer I have right here? For another quarter of the day, they made confessions and they worshiped God. Not just for an hour, they worshiped all day. And what constituted that worship, get it, I hope you didn't miss it, is that they were confessing. They were in the presence of God, and they realized that everything pure they see in God, they didn't always see in themselves. That when they came into the presence of God with the word of God, the word of God pointed out some things about their lives that wasn't in line with the word of God. Come on here. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to make you feel good. You feel better when you get in line with the word of God, because when God points out to you that there's some places and points in your life, in my life, that are not in line with his word, he gives us the opportunity to come before his presence and realize that he's a forgiving God. You're not with me in this place, huh? You look like you've never been forgiven for anything. He allows us to come into his presence, and he gives us the assurance that when we confess from an earnest heart, when we confess before God, God is faithful and just to forgive us. You know why? Because he loves us. God loves you, and he wants you closer to him. So in order to help you get closer to him, he has to clean some stuff up from you in order for you to get closer to him. You're not with me. Let me help you understand something. I love the dynamic of my house. My wife has taught me so many things. She taught me so many things about parenting and raising kids, because there was a time when my kids, William, were not as clean as they are right now. They used to play outside. You know when kids used to play outside? They used to play outside and used to get all dirty. You know, I was proud of them because, you know, they had some pine sap on your arm in order to play outside. They had some grass stains on the jeans. I said, that's how boys are supposed to be. They're playing outside. And my daughter said, not just boys, I can do it too. So she was out there. She was playing outside with them. That's before she started growing up and stuff. And I noticed something. When the kids would come in the house, Mom would say, no, you can't just come in the house. And I'm like, what's wrong? She said, no, you got to take all that stuff off before you come in the house. My wife taught me a lot, because she didn't stop loving them, but she said that they were not fit to come in the house. And then she looked at me because I was playing outside with them. George said, I'm talking to you too. What I'm trying to help us understand, there's some things in our lives that will make us unfit. There's some things in our lives that are ungodly. There's some things in our lives that are not holy. And God loves us enough to say, hey, I can't let you keep going like that. God loves you enough to say, I can't let you keep having hatred in your heart. I can't let you keep having judgment in your heart. I can't let you keep going on like that. I love you too much to let you harbor unforgiveness in your heart. I love you too much. And so he calls their attention to the word, and then they look at the word, they look at themselves, and they confess. I hope y'all get this. Because we waste our time when we come into this sacred space and then leave out the same way we came in. No, God wants us to direct our attention to him, to his greatness, to his holiness, to his goodness, to his faithfulness, and repent of our unfaithfulness. There may be some things you need to repent of right now. Maybe things you've been struggling with that God is bringing to your attention that you need to repent. Repent is turning away. It's making a conscious decision that I'm going to choose God's way. That I may know my way, but I'm going to decide to go forward in godliness. That I'm going to commit to separating myself from that which is not of God so that I can get closer to that which is God's way. That's really what worship is, y'all. Worship is really accomplished when we get in line and align our lives to want to do it God's way. And when you do it God's way, God will bless you. When you do it God's way, God will restore you. When you do things God's way, God will lift some burdens that you didn't even realize you were carrying. When you choose to do it God's way, God will clear your eyes so you can see the world the correct way, and he can show you that there's a bigger picture of all that's happening, that God is still at work. When we choose to do it God's way, God will lead you, and he'll use you when you do it his way. God wants to use us. God has called and commissioned us to be used by him. And when God shows you all that he's brought you through, when God reveals to you and you decide to go forward in godliness, this is what they did. They make a covenant between chapters 9 and chapters 10. They make a covenant. They put their name on it. They say, God, we see what you've done for us, and because you've done all this for us, this is what we are pledging to do for you. I love it. When you read the text, don't just run past the names. I know some of them are a little hard to pronounce, but you're in your room by yourself. Nobody can hear you. Go ahead and read through the names and let the names remind you that God is taking names, and he's taking names of those who said, you know what? I'm going to live according to your word because I want to be close to you. And then they make this, the Bible says they make this declaration as a people. After they signed the covenant before God, they make a declaration that they will be a people of God. That's chapter 10 and chapter 11. Now I got to cut across the field here because now they're dedicating the wall. So that by the time we get to chapter 12 of the text, they're dedicating the wall. They're dedicating to God what God helped them to do. God helped them to build the wall, helped them to build the temple. God helped them to be a protected people. And now they're dedicating what God gave them back to him. And look what the Bible says, the latter part of chapter 12, 43. And they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women, the children also rejoiced, which means the men rejoiced. And the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. Let me see if I can help you understand this. They saw what God had done. They remembered and reflected on what God had been doing in their lives. They looked at what they weren't doing that was right and compared it to how good God was to them, even though what they were doing was not right. And when they realized how good God had been, they chose to get closer to God. And in getting closer to God, God gave them joy. Maybe you missed it. Let me help you here. They looked at their lives. They paused enough. I'm sorry, cameraman. I just got to do it. They paused enough to stop and reflect in their lives all that God had done. Kevin, they didn't stop there. After they saw what God had done in their lives, they began to realize all the stuff they should have done, but they didn't do. And then realized that God loved them enough to keep doing good to them, even though they weren't doing good what he gave them. And when they realized that God is still being good to them, they said, I got to get closer to God. And when I get closer to God, God did something. He removed their mourning and gave them joy. He removed their sadness and he gave them joy. He removed their unrighteousness and he gave them joy. That's what he did when Jesus came. That's what he did for you and I. When we came close to God, he removed our unrighteousness, and Jesus came into our hearts and said that you are my child. Because when you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Hold on. And cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Not some, but all unrighteousness, so that when the Satan comes and try to remind you of the unrighteousness, you can sing that song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left this crimson stain, but he washed it. I'm just trying to help you understand something. Jesus paid it all. And when you come to him, when you recommit to him, he'll restore your joy. He'll restore your peace. And he'll put you exactly where he wants you to be.